sky, Lord, I lift your name. There is a traditional greeting where it will say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, great. Do it one more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, One of the things I always remember doing, no matter where I lived, would be like on Easter Sunday, you go outside and you go, "He's alive!" And you hope the neighbors would say, "Be quiet." "I can't, because he's alive." Glad that you are here today. Welcome to each and every one of you. New faces, visitors, guests, we're just glad that you could come today. You realize a year ago, none of you were here. I remember in another room doing the Easter message on Zoom. I like this so much better. Yeah. It's just good to see you. I do want to just let you know a few things that are happening this week here at Heart of Joy. There is a new Bible study that's going to be starting on the book of Philippians. There's a men's study on Tuesday mornings at 9:30. It's the same time as the ladies have their Bible study. But we're going to start the book of Philippians. I'll be leading that. And then we're going to do the same thing on Thursday from noon until 1. If you want to bring a sack lunch, we call it the lunch with a bunch. And we'll just do a study. We'll start our study with the book of Philippians this Thursday as well, beginning at noon. Other than that, I believe everything is kind of the norm this coming week. And prayer requests, one that's not in there would be pray for rain. Yeah. Anybody like to see it rain or hear some thunder?
Yeah.
I'd like to actually see the rain, feel it. Not none of the spitting stuff, but where it actually rains. And pray for some, because there's a lot of places we need rain in the Midwest, including this area as well. I do want to let you know that it's good to have with us Jeff Kyle is back home. All the way from Mexico. I'd have you come up and say something, because I know how much you like being in front of people, but I won't.
Kind of stuck in.
That's to be not, you know, Karen won't let you out. So just good to see you back home. And just one other thing is that there's a congregational business meeting that is this month. It's the last Sunday of this month. And just want to make sure that you are aware of that. You'll hear about this every Sunday coming forth. And I believe, Denny, you have an announcement you'd like to make this morning.
I do. We had an anonymous donor present this plaque that we'd like to give to Pastor. It says, "Our pastor, you lead our congregation by opening God's word, and then you live your life reflecting all we've heard. You care for the weak and even through my prayer. And when we face misfortune, we know that you'll be there. We really love you, Pastor, for everything you do, and we thank God for giving us a pastor like you."
Overtime and tied. They had only just a second or two left, and they made the winning shot, and Gonzaga pulls ahead. No worries. That's what I feel like this is about. Thank you very much. I will just not have any more announcements, and we'll just move on to. I wanted to.
Reborn.
I kind of wanted you to be singing a song here, but it looks like you don't.
Not yet.
It is communion today after the message. And so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, yet from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of my heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that I may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If I say I have no sin. I deceive myself, and the truth is not in me. But if I confess my sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time and ask the Lord to search our hearts this morning, and let God's Holy Spirit show us if there be any wicked way in our hearts, and we may confess our sin to Him this morning. Let's do that. A time of silence, just you and the Lord.
Thank you.
leading us in worship today. As always, and I do have to let you know that if I didn't have such a good wife, I couldn't do what I do. So she gets a lot of credit as far as in my head.
Attaboy, Jim.
So, happy Easter, honey. I invite you to stand as we look at one of the accounts in the Gospels. Go to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Mark's account of the resurrection of Jesus. 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful Sunday that you have given to us, where we can just take some time here this morning and just focus on your resurrection, what that must have been like for these ladies, and how much that this resurrection, even though it happened a couple thousand years ago or close to it, it still has a huge impact in the world today, and even for us. So Lord, will you come with your resurrection power and speak to our hearts here today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you notice the very first verse, it says, "When the Sabbath was over." It is interesting to mention the Sabbath. And why is that? Jesus was crucified on Friday, and they took down his body before the Sabbath began, which was Saturday by Jewish law. They worshiped on Saturday. And so it says when the Sabbath was over, which is Saturday, that they then went Sunday morning, the first day of the week, to the tomb. And three women, according to Mark, went. It's important that there is three women who went to the tomb, because now we have eyewitnesses. This is not some hearsay. It's not a story that you're just hearing about, but there's eyewitnesses of three women, and we have their names. Mary Magdalene, who is a follower of Jesus. Jesus cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. Did you know that? She was in tough shape. And have no idea what she was like before when she had the demons, but Jesus changed her life. Anybody here been demon-possessed? I didn't think so. Because if you are, you probably would have been a demon. But your life changes when Jesus becomes a part of your life. There's another Mary that's there. It's not Mary, Jesus' mom. It's Mary, the mother of James, and this would be James the Lesser, or James the Little. He's one of the 12 disciples. And then you have Salome. She is the wife of Zebedee. Have you heard of him before? Zebedee. Two of their children, James and John, left their nets when Jesus had come and followed him. So these are the three ladies that have been loyal to Jesus, have been helpful in the ministry throughout his time here on earth. That they are these three, Mark tells us, that went to the grave. That went to the tomb where they had placed Jesus. So one of the interesting things is that they brought with them spices. Now remember, when Joseph of Arimathea took down Jesus' body, Nicodemus also helped him, and Nicodemus brought 75 pounds of ointment to put on the body for burial. Very common in that period of time. So Jesus already has been anointed with 75 pounds of spices and with fragrant oils and wrapped in strips of cloths. And here we find that the women wanted to come, and they brought with them spices as well. Now think about this, that somebody had to pay for those spices. I have no idea what it cost them, but these three ladies thought it through. This is what they wanted to do on this Sunday morning. And so it took some planning. It took some purchasing and also some preparation for them to go and do what they're going to do. It wasn't just something they thought of doing and did it. Spontaneity. But they had to think this through, and they did. Most women didn't think this through. Right, ladies? You're very organized. Oh, how much you wish your husband was that way. It's okay, guys. I'm the same way. So what's on their mind as they go to the tomb that morning was really the stone. It was a big thing. What is on your mind this morning as you come to church? It's Easter Sunday. Got anything on your mind today that you think is big? Avery? The new braces. Is it a big thing or not? Good. But a lot of times our mind is on things of who's coming. You know, is a stove going to kick on when it's supposed to? Will we come home? Will there be burnt offerings? Or will there be cold food? Will the people who we're expecting, are they going to make it or aren't they? There's a lot of big things on your mind this morning. I just want you to put those big things to the side and focus on it's Easter, this is the Resurrection Sunday. These ladies are concerned about the big stone, and they said it's a large rock. There's no way that they could move it. But that was the big thing that they're talking about. You know, like, how are we going to, you know, we went through all this work of getting the spices. And in the Greek, the word for spices here, it means more of a perfumed oils rather than a fragrant herbs. So it would be some oil. Think back of last Sunday, was it Mary that broke the alabaster jar and dumped it over Jesus' head? It was very fragrant. There's a lot of different kinds of smells that were going on in that home that day, in that place. And they know that they cannot anoint the body unless they can get inside the tomb. So how are they going to get this big stone out of the entrance so they can go inside to do what they wanted to do? And maybe they thought if there might be some men around that the men could move it and they could still get inside. But they have no idea. They're just going there. Because they know where they buried Jesus. They know the tomb he was in. So it really comes down that when they come to where the tomb is at, guess what? The stone is not a big deal anymore.
It's been moved. They can go inside. It's who they saw inside the tomb that really kind of got their attention. Not what they expected. They expected to go in there and find the body of Jesus to anoint him with their oils. And when they looked inside, there was somebody in there. It wasn't who they expected. It says it was a man who was in white clothing. Now, could that be an angel? Wouldn't surprise me. When we see a lot of things happening at Jesus' birth, the angels are like everywhere. And so why not we have an angel that's able to communicate to those who come to an empty tomb like he does? I want to share something with you that maybe you know, maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. One of those little details that you may not realize. But do you remember that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went to Pilate after Jesus had died and that he was put in a tomb, which was Joseph. That they went to Pilate and they asked him to secure the tomb. You remember that? And to post a guard at the tomb. And a seal was then placed on the stone. And it's one of those little details that you never really hear or talk much about. But Pilate says, okay, secure the tomb, which means secure it so no one can come and steal the body, because then they'll have a bigger mess on their hands, because this deceiver said that after 3 days he was going to rise again. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the chief priests, made sure that the tomb was secure. It was like Fort Knox. A guard of 4 Roman soldiers, and of course they would pick 4 guys who would be big, hefty guys. They knew how to guard things, and if anyone tried to come and take the body, well, they would take care of them in real quick order. But the other thing is that it sealed the tomb. A seal is a piece of string that would go across the stone door of the tomb, and it would have like Pilate's signet on his ring finger that he would press into a clay substance. You press it there along with that string on both sides, and if anyone ever broke that string, guess what? If that string is broke, those 4 guards, it means their lives. They're gone. And so that's very important. We see this in the Old Testament with a guy by the name of, you probably don't know, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, the king, sealed, when they put him inside the lion's den, it said that he sealed the door. Again, we take his ring and put it over the door so no one could break that to try to get Daniel out of there before the lions ate him. So if he's in there, the king thought for sure he'd never see Daniel again. And to make sure, he put that string across with his signature that he put on with his signet ring. And of course, Daniel was there the next day. They could remove the stone because the king said it was okay. Open the door. But until then, if anyone tried to break that string or did break it, it meant their life. You can't go up and say, I was just kidding. I thought I'd just break it. I played with it. It fell apart. No, you can't do that. So we find that at Jesus' tomb, it was heavily guarded. And things were done that if anyone tampered in trying to get Jesus out of the tomb, it meant their lives. So as they look inside, they find this young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side where they had placed Jesus. And now this angel also speaks to these ladies. So it's not that he's just there to catch their attention, but now he speaks to them, and it's important what he says to them. He tells them kind of three things. It is he who says, I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, aren't you? Now, everybody knows that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Therefore, that's what they call him, a Nazarene. Mary Magdalene comes from a town called Magdala. So it's Mary Magdalene takes part of her, of the town that she grew up in. Is there anybody here by the name of Sam Milford? Probably not. But if someone was born in Milford, they could probably just say, okay, Jack of Milford. Be one way to say it. It kind of takes part of the location where he grew up from or in, and that's, everybody knows who you're talking about. But he says he was crucified. And if he was crucified and he died on Friday. This is Sunday morning. And he says this, he is not here. Now you notice that the women, for the first time in a long time, are not saying anything. The angel is in command, he's in charge, he's speaking to them, and of course they're just kind of going like, wow, what is going on here? He is risen. They hear those words, he is risen. And then he says this, go and tell the disciples of Jesus. And he specifically says, make sure you tell Peter. Why Peter? Why Peter? Because Peter is the one who denied Jesus three times. And he says to them, go to Galilee, and they will see Jesus there just like he said he would. But they're to go from Galilee. You know how far it is from Jerusalem to Galilee? That's probably around 70 miles. And we do find out later on that what do the disciples do? They do go to Galilee. And what do they do when they get there? They do what I like to do. Go fishing. And it's Jesus who's on the shoreline cooking them fish. And he has a little talk with Peter. We won't get into that today. That's another sermon for another time. So the big news that we find here is that in Mark's gospel here, it tells us that these ladies, once they heard what the angel said to them, and of course he says to them, do not be alarmed. Another way of saying, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. But these ladies ran out of that tomb like jackrabbits. That means they're not from Brookings, South Dakota. But they ran out of that tomb very, very scared and frightened and afraid. Mark tells us that they were so afraid that they trembled and they couldn't believe what they heard. He said that these women didn't say anything. I think that just happened for a while. I don't think the women said anything until they got back to see the disciples. And then when they did tell the disciples what had happened, none of them believed them. They didn't believe the women, what they had to say. But Mary Magdalene, even when she said, I have seen the Lord, they didn't believe her either. And so Peter and John run to the tomb to see what the lady said. The lady said this, was it true? And that's another sermon too. But Mary Magdalene says, I have seen the Lord. Have you seen the Lord in your life? might be not a visual kind of a thing, but maybe some of you said, I've seen him. It was maybe in a dream. Maybe it was something you can't explain, or you go like, I've never told anyone this because they all think I'm crazy. I've seen the Lord. But the Lord comes to us in different times and different ways and different kinds of situations that you know it's Him speaking to you. So the resurrection, it comes down to this. It's all about forgiveness and eternal life. That's what the resurrection is all about. Are you forgiven of your sins? Or don't you think you sin? Well, I hate to tell you this. You were born a sinner, you still are a sinner. But Resurrection Sunday, Jesus has risen, and you can say, I am forgiven. Just say that with me.
I am forgiven.
Now, do you believe that? I am forgiven. Remember, Jesus took your place on the cross. And everything that happened to him before the cross, he did that voluntarily because he loves you and he cares for you. He doesn't want you to go to a lost eternity. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be with him in eternity forever. If you don't go to heaven, where do you go? Hell. And some pastors don't like to use that word. But I go, the truth is, that's where we go. There's only two places, heaven or hell. And that's a big deal, to know where you're going. God will forgive you your sins because of the Son that He's done for you. Gospel, one word. Right, Riker? He's right away, he's going, shh, okay, what is that one word? That?
Yeah.
It's okay.
It is.
Well, it's two words. It's done. Law is due. Gospel is done. Jesus has done it all for you. That's a big deal. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 tells us that God will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And we all need that because we can have a heart like a rock, a heart of stone. But God can change our hearts, give us a new heart transplant with His Spirit in it, and make us like someone we never ever thought we could be. He will do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. This is the good news that even when the disciples continue to meet people and to preach your word, they made sure that they would say that there was the resurrection. If they didn't talk about the resurrection, then there was nothing different about Christianity. But the resurrection is what sets Christianity apart from all other world religions. A God who cared and loved His people, His creation, so much that He became one of them. Even though they didn't recognize Him, didn't want to have anything to do with Him, they even rejected Him. And so today, Lord, we say, what is God like? We look to Jesus. And if we like what we see in Jesus, that's who God is. So we thank you, Lord, that you make You make God real to us. It's not just a stuffy book, the Bible, but these words are powerful and true, and they give us faith to believe and to trust in who you are and what you've done for us. So we thank you today, Lord. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of everybody that's here today, but you do. And if there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, why not today? Why not today? It would always be easy to remember that on Easter is when I finally let the Lord have his way in my life. And Lord, there could be someone here today that has just wandered away from you, had loved Jesus at one time in his or her life, and has just kind of drifted away. And really doesn't know where she is at today or where he is at today, but they know they're not as close as they once were with Jesus Christ. Lord, you're here today with your arms wide open, even with the scars on your hands and on your feet and the scar on your side, saying, I still love you, and I'll still forgive you, and I'm still here to help you along the way. Just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I'll give you rest. There's no other place to find rest than in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, be with these friends of mine that are here today, but you love them even more. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said to his disciples, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat all of it." After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had offered it to them, he said to them, "Drink it. This is my cup of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We have an open communion, which means if you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he invites you to come. It's not for anyone else to tell you you can't come, but Jesus wants you to come. One condition, that he is your Lord and he's your Savior. That's the big thing. So I'll ask Angie, is she here? Yeah, there she is. Come and help serve. And you will be dismissed. Someone will come and dismiss you row by row. And if you'd like to come forward, you sure can. If you'd like to come and spend some time at the altar, kneel and just spend some time alone with the Lord, you can sure do that. Stay as long as you want, and then go back and sit down. If you're not able to come up to have communion, we will come and give it to you wherever you may be. If for some reason you can't walk, or it's just not, you're just at that point in time in life that you need some help, but we'll come to you. Don't make it a big deal where you say, I can't do it because I can't come up front. We will come and serve you where you are sitting, and that's just fine. So with that, we will ask those that would like to come, please come. Thank you. Did we get everybody? Anybody here that wanted communion couldn't do it? Okay. Just want to make sure. Listen to the good news, where it says, our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please stand.